There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Talking recycling now, delighted to be joined in the studio by the founder and CEO of an organisation called Degrade, Chris Barber. Morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Big day for you, and here's why. We can exclusively reveal that you've just signed a deal with Expo. You're going to be the licensed company to produce t-shirts and other apparel for Expo. And the way you're doing it is not through cotton farming, it's through recycled plastic bottles. You're building a massive new multi-million dollar recycling plant near the Expo site that's going to open in a few weeks' time. Tell us in your own words about this deal with Expo.
Well, it's a very exciting deal for us, obviously. It gives us the opportunity to put recycling on the map and to show people what can be tangibly done with recycled plastic. We've been developing this process now for the past 8 years, and we're bringing it to Dubai. So the key for us is to really try and use local waste in our production and to be able to manufacture products for Expo using local plastic bottles.
So there's a couple of things going on here. There's the Expo deal, which in and of itself is interesting. And there's also the fact that you've been going a few years now. And we've spoken before on the Business Breakfast, but you've got this $3.5 million site opening in Dubai South near Expo. Let's take a step back. How does it work? How on earth do you take my old Masafi or Alain or My Dubai bottle and turn it into a t-shirt?
Okay, well, I think one of the biggest challenges is actually getting the plastic to our factory in the first place and having it segregated at source. Once we get the bottles into the factory, they're shredded and flaked and basically put through a washing process that turns them back into food-grade quality PET flakes. So these flakes can actually be used to go back into bottles, or they can be upstreamed then into yarns.
It sounds like quite a lengthy, energy-intensive, time-consuming and expensive process. Can it be done cost-effectively?
Very good question. It is a lengthy process. From an environmental point of view, it's actually far more environmentally friendly than producing polyester. We use actually 50% less energy, 20% less water, and it produces 55% fewer carbon emissions than producing polyester from scratch. And obviously, we're not using oil. As far as price is concerned, because the process is quite lengthy, generally speaking, the prices have tended to be higher, about 15% higher than conventional polyester fabrics. But our hope is because we can bring everything a bit closer to home and centralized and integrate the process itself, we can be more competitive and eventually be cost neutral to polyester.
You said a few moments ago that the biggest challenge was actually getting the bottles to you here. Why is that?
Well, several reasons. Obviously, the key issue really is to divert from landfill. As you probably know, there's no landfill tax at the moment in Dubai, so there's no actual incentive for people not to landfill. This is something that we're hoping is going to change. And waste management companies themselves haven't to date really invested in sorting systems. So you'll find that general waste gets mixed with recyclables. Recyclables get contaminated. And when they're contaminated, it's too expensive to actually clean them.
Right. So it's only good, clean, recyclable product that you can actually even use.
Well, in our case, we have invested a lot in sorting technology, so we can identify different plastics. The washing line itself will wash any impurities out of the plastics, so we can take fairly highly contaminated plastic, but we've had to invest considerably in that in order to cope with the local material.
So how do we solve the problem of us not recycling our water bottles, or only recycling, is it a tiny fraction of our water bottles? Is it 6%?
Yeah, I mean, the production levels are massive in this region. In fact, the eighth highest in the world in the UAE, and the highest in Asia.
On a per capita basis?
Yeah, on a per capita basis. The top four bottling companies are producing in excess of 10 million bottles a day.
10 million bottles a day?
Which is just...
In the UAE?
Yeah.
And there is 4 odd million of us?
Yes, correct. It's quite an astounding number. I mean, in terms of recovery, as you say, Richard, it's less than 6% at the moment.
So how do we increase that number? What's the gold standard in recovery rates? If we're 6% here, what, I don't know, I'd imagine the Scandinavians, they're normally good at this kind of thing. What are they achieving?
Exactly. Well, Scandinavia is the highest in the world in terms of recovery rates. They're working on plus 90% at the moment. A lot of that is done through consumer collections and consumer segregation. We do have that here, but not, the issues are really that because we have a lot of high-rise buildings, it's very difficult to segregate the waste or the recyclables. And as I said, the infrastructure really isn't in place for the actual sorting when it does get to the waste management company.
Recycling is great, but surely the bigger game would actually be to get us all using less plastics and to get less plastic produced.
I think there's a lot of plastic which is produced unnecessarily. There's a lot of products that we could live without. I think in terms of finding replacements for plastic bottles, yes, certainly it could be reduced, but I don't think it'll ever go away. The options of glass don't really make commercial sense because obviously you still have to clean it, you still have to transport it, it costs more to produce it. There's very little recycling of glass going on in this area. So I think, you know, from a relatively simple point of view, the easiest thing is for people to recycle it. And that's why it was designed in the first place. That's why plastic was developed, in order to be recycled.
You have just teamed up with Expo in two different ways. Number one, you're going to be building a substantial recycling facility in Dubai South. What's that actually going to mean for Expo 2020 Dubai?
Well, the site actually is already built. We moved in October last year, and this is actually for the first part of the process, which is flaking the bottles so that they're then ready for extrusion. The association with Expo is going to be fantastic for us. It's going to be an opportunity for us to showcase our products. There's a whole range of products that we're actually licensed to produce, including fashion items and leisure wear.
I'm just going to stop you there. Will you be providing the uniforms that Expo workers are going to be wearing?
Well, that's actually a separate issue. We have the license to produce the merchandise. The actual uniforms are, a range of products that Expo themselves will be commissioning to have made. We have pitched for the idea, or at least for the business, to manufacture the uniforms, but I don't think anything's been decided as yet.
But when you're saying you'll be making merchandise, if I'm buying an Expo t-shirt with the big sort of logo on the front of it, is there a good chance that it will be one of your recycled water bottle t-shirts?
Yes, there is. We're not the only licensee. I mean, Expo have made considerable efforts to look for sustainable manufacturers, but we are the only licensee who is producing product from local plastic bottles. So if you buy anything with the Degrade label on it, you know that it's going to be from local plastic, and we have quite an extensive range which is going to be launched in September.
If we look at some of the messages coming in, they address the issue you mentioned earlier about recycling. To make t-shirts out of recycled plastic bottles, you need to get your hands on the bottles, but we don't recycle them, we tend to throw them away. Only 6% are recycled. Chazza writes in saying, go and see BR in Sharjah. They've got a great waste separation facility, and certainly that waste management company building a massive facility out in the desert in Sharjah as well. What advances are we making in this area? What are Expo doing? And we know that you're close to them. Geographically, you're close to Expo as well as having this deal. What can Expo do to boost that number?
Well, we launched a campaign a couple of years ago called Simply Bottles, hashtag Simply Bottles. We're now with 180 schools in Dubai. We're also doing corporate events. We've done some quite large-scale events recently, including the Pope's visit in Abu Dhabi. And it's something that we're hoping that Expo will embrace next year and actually get behind and support for us to be able to increase the levels that we get into our plant. We're looking at In the region of about 20% of our feedstock requirement coming directly from our own Simply Bottles campaign. The rest of the feedstock will be coming from the waste management companies on a commercial basis.
We've had a question in about microplastics, which is certainly a term that we're hearing more and more of at the moment. Tiny, tiny little bits of plastic getting into the water supply, getting into even the fish and things we eat. Someone asking if, given that your T-shirts are technically made from the plastic bottles, do they shed any type of microplastic while you are washing them? Is there any way that they could put microplastics into the water system?
Well, I'm afraid that all garments or all fabrics actually shed to a certain extent. It's more about the tenacity of the yarn, the strength of the yarn when it goes through the washing process, as to how much it sheds. It doesn't matter whether it's polyester or cotton or any other man-made fibre. They will all shred to a certain extent. But washing machines themselves have built-in filters. And then by the time the water gets actually into the sea, having gone through treatment centres, there's a lot of scaremongering and a lot of bad press about this. But, this is obviously an issue, but I think things will things will start to get improved because a lot of the washing machine manufacturers are producing better quality filters in their machines. And our yarns are a very strong and a very consistent quality, so they don't tend to shred as much as the cheaper fabrics do.
Just before we let you go, we've had a number of... Everyone's got an idea for how you could be getting more people to bring bottles to you. Which works better, carrot or stick?
Can you define that a bit more, please?
As in whether you pay someone for bringing you the bottles or whether we should penalise people for not recycling?
I see. Well, that's a very good question. I mean, there are machines called reverse vending machines which actually offer redemption to people who deposit plastic bottles into those machines. I think the stick is quite a good method because, you know, I think everybody should be aware of the dangers to the environment when they're not recycling. There's no reason that you shouldn't recycle plastic. There's no reason that you shouldn't recycle anything that can be recreated. I don't know whether you could actually penalise the individual, but certainly the companies that are producing all this plastic should be held accountable and responsible and actually contribute to the costs of recycling.
Chris Barber, founder and CEO of Degrade, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.